Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Maya Angelou, Miles Davis, Reverend Cleophas Robinson, and Dick Gregory have strong ties with St. Louis and the region. They are part of the inspiration for Dance St. Louis's new Dance Horizons, which is returning for its fourth year with world premiere performances at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center at UMSL on Friday and Saturday. It is a tribute to Black History Month. With me to explain are two renowned choreographers who created the works in the production. Diane McIntyre's work is When We Come to It, is being performed by a local dance ensemble that was cast specifically for New Dance Horizons and is inspired by Maya Angelou. B.B. Miller's work is Line Up, Low Down, a modern American dance company performance inspired by jazz musician Miles Davis. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Pretty excited about this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's exciting.
I would think so. I think a lot of people are excited about it. Diane, let me begin with you. How do you draw inspiration for dance from someone like Maya Angelou?
I am inspired by Maya Angelou, even just her life, before you look at her poetry. She was a self-made person. Nothing got in her way. If she wanted to dance, if she wanted to write, if she wanted to speak out about injustices, she did that. She found a platform for that. I've always been inspired by her as just a humanitarian, and her words are just really helped set me on fire.
How does one translate that, though, to the dance?
Well, I find images in Maya Angelou's work, images from nature, images from her own life, images, philosophical images, I'll say, and then I bring my own understanding of what she's saying and bring a dance, figures of dance, to become another voice with her voice. That's the way I work.
Bibi, let me take the same tack with you with regard to Miles Davis. The inspiration you draw for his life, quite a different life in some ways from Maya Angelou's, but not in some ways quite similar, too. But how do you draw your inspiration from him?
Well, I think both of us maybe are responding to the fact that these individuals created a life in art, which, you know, kind of from the get-go means really taking a certain look at your life around and how do you want to be in the world. I feel like I relate to Miles's outsider in a way, outsider sound. He really shaped, I mean, I don't think, you never know if you kind of go into a field thinking like, well, I'm going to be a groundbreaker and I'm going to just do it my way. Yeah. But rather, that's what follows you. So in a way, you're just moving forward almost blindly, but just saying, like, this is what I need to do. This is how I hear the world. This is what I see. So I think for me, Miles is kind of an inspiration of how to live as an artist, how to work with people. And as a jazz artist, he's an improviser. You know, he's working with people where you do your homework, you come together in a room, you come together over time, and then you interweave these various stories into that moment. So it's, for me, I'm responding more to the kind of to the setup of what it means to work in a group and to make. So I kind of see like, okay, this is the way I want to work with a group. This is how I understand people. This is how I can see where we can go someplace else together.
How did you come to this project? And I'll have the same question for you, Diane, in a moment. How did you come to the project?
Well, thank you, Mr. Michael Utoff. He picked up the phone, or rather the email, and said, would you be interested?
Course,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was it. I'd only really been in St. Louis once before, working at Washington University a number of years ago. So this, I hadn't known of Dance St. Louis, so this was a really lovely introduction and an invitation.
Diane, I'm sure you had the same kind of phone call. How was it presented to you, this project?
It was presented to me by Michael Utoff. He had a vision for this particular concert. He really wanted to focus on African-American choreographers and artists that we would be inspired by who are African-American from this soil, from St. Louis, or had very strong ties to St. Louis. So when he spoke about this project, I was immediately inspired by it and very honored to be asked to be part of it.
How long does it take to put this all together from your point, from the choreographer's standpoint? I mean, it must take some time, a lot of research, and a number of other elements that must be brought into it.
That is a good question. Thank you, Don, because it's not just what you see us doing in the studio.
Yeah.
We have hours or weeks or months of really sitting with the idea and what direction are we going to go. And then you go deep into the music or into the poetry and see, there's a lot of research before choreography walks into the studio. The research could even be you just sitting by yourself and ruminating over which way I'm going to go. Or you working on your own in the studio. Then we got to come here and actually work with the dancers, since neither of us are from St. Louis.
Bibi, but you're not working with a blank slate, because you do have, you know, the work of Miles Davis in your case, and of Maya Angelou in your case, Diane. So you do have a little help. It's not like an author sitting down at a typewriter, or pardon me, no longer a typewriter, but a
right,
computer.
Exactly. Yeah, we date ourselves.
A word processor, right. And with a blank piece of paper and just scratching his or her head and saying, where do I go from here?
Right. Well, I'm kind of following up on what Diane's saying about the ruminating. And I think for me, when I was listening to the music, first of all, just choosing, like, which one to use was a huge, huge task. Odd to say, but it's like a lot of hours sitting at the kitchen table with a cup of tea and listening, and I'm washing the dishes, I gotta say, and other things, but just sort of living with the sound. And in particular with Feo, there was such like an openness and ease to it, like an introduction. So I thought, like, well, okay, I can live with this. I can be with this. And interestingly, I mean, when you hear the sound, it's like so open, and these people are just kind of slowly stating their presence. And I thought that was like a nice introduction to the group. Now, I tell you, choreographically, I didn't come in with that idea, but more in retrospective, like, I think I need to introduce the company one by one. So that's how the choreography set up once I met them, who these people were.
And we're listening to Feo now, or at least,
yes, we are.
At least part of it. It's all Miles Davis music? Is that?
It's all Miles Davis music. However, it's played by the members of the UMSL Jazz Ensemble, so it's their music really as well.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of following along with it, they're improvising in and around this score, this soundscape. And I'm really counting on their own individuality to take part of it.
What would we be seeing if listening to the music now? What would we be seeing if we were watching it on stage?
Of course, I don't want to give the whole thing away.
but
the piece starts first with the sound of the bass player, and then you'll see a solitary dancer just standing there being. She does a move, really slow, really simple, and then slowly you realize, like, there's a whole group behind her, 11 other dancers, who come forward as, you can tell they know each other. So it's a really even and easy beginning. And then as the music kind of picks up a little bit further down, then, like, whoa, all of a sudden, like, they're in action. You see little bits of partnership, partnering, connection. They see each other. They eye each other, eye to eye. And then the piece moves forward.
It sounds wonderful, and the music is terrific.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of great.
It sounds very languid. There's not a lot of... a lot of hectic movement,
yeah.
needless to say.
Yeah.
Diane, let me turn to you and try the same thing with you. The music that we're going to be listening to is what, you recall?
This is music by Lester Bowie. It was not composed, it's not his composition. However, it's his brass fantasy. Lester has passed away in 1999. I had the opportunity to work with him a number of times over the years with the dancers and his live music. So, and I realized this is Lester's hometown, St. Louis,
right.
And I feel Lester in the air here. He was quite a, he had a lot of humor in his life. And he brings that out in his music.
And the music is Beautiful People? Is
yeah.
that is that
it's
the correct name?
Beautiful People. Mm. Yes. This section is the latter part of our work. And in Maya Angelou's poetry says, when we come to it. When we come to it, we'll no longer have that strife. We'll no longer have wars between each other. We'll be able to live in peace and harmony. So by the time we get to this particular music, the people are moving all as one. It's very joyous. And they have interactions, but they never run into each other.
Let's hope not.
Earlier in the piece, they do. Earlier in the piece, they have clashes between each other. In this particular music, it gets very intense, very overlapping sounds. Very what you might be called, what the musicians call outside. The musicians play outside. And when I was playing it for my very support here, Keith Williams, I said, Keith, this music is too much. It is too much. It is over the top. I am not. He said, Diane, go for it. Go for it. And Lester would want me to have gone for it. I want his people here to hear his music.
Now, did Lester compose this, or is
the composition is by Marilyn Manson, called Beautiful People.
Yeah.
This is Lester's take
okay.
on Beautiful
okay.
People, which is over the top.
Sounds like there's a lot of action.
There's a lot of action, and the dancers have done a magnificent job. They're just very good sports, and they've absorbed my vision, my Angelou's vision, and Lester Bowie's vision of Go For It.
We have to take a break. We'll do that now and come back with another interview, someone that you've worked with, a local dancer. We'll leave that as a mystery for a moment, but I'll tell our audience that we're talking with choreographers Diane McIntyre and B.B. Miller. The New Dance Horizons 4 performances that we're talking about are going to be taking place Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Two Hill, and there is a 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday as well. You're going to have a busy weekend, ladies. We'll come back and continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back to our conversation with choreographers Diane McIntyre and B.B. Miller. Diane, how much of a St. Louis presence is there in the performance, particularly with your ensemble? A lot of St. Louis people involved?
All of the people in the ensemble are based here in St. Louis. We have one young lady who comes in from Kansas. She comes back and forth. All the other dancers are living and working, or some are students here in St. Louis. Wonderful dancers.
And B.B., same for you?
Yeah, they're all from here, and I hadn't met them before, so I really, they all work together with Madco, and so it's kind of like stepping into their living room or into their working room and getting a sense of what kind of a company they form.
So you must have to come in fairly early to work with these people.
Well, we started in December. I spent about a week here in December and also a week in January. So, yeah, not that early, but it still feels kind of fresh. And so what's been lovely to see is that in between my visits, like how they've really taken it on and kind of transformed the work. It went from my work to their work, which is a lovely thing.
They're kind of handing off, like a football quarterback handing off to the other.
They're the ones out there. I mean, they're the ones we see. Sure. So,
same kind of story for you, Diane, I'm sure.
Well, yes, the way the group I work with came together was a little different because this group did not exist before as an entity. So I had auditions actually in September, and Michael Utoff brought amazing group of dancers together, and we had auditions, and this group has come from those auditions. So this particular ensemble is not an ongoing ensemble for now. Maybe one day it will be. Yeah. And there are three dancers in my work that Michael had the vision to bring together with me, and I'm very honored because there are three people who were formerly dancers with Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, and they have just brought an elegance, a power, and a gift, really, to me and to the community.
And one of them is Antonio Douthat Boyd.
Yes.
Right.
And
he's well known here, obviously, in St. Louis.
Yes, and also his husband, Kervin, and also Alicia Graff. Wonderful. Amazing artists.
I talked to Antonio just a few minutes ago and got his take on what's been going to be happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. And you already know this, I'm sure, but he is very excited.
I'm excited because I was in the Ailey Company for the last 12 years and we get to work with Diane McIntyre, who was one of the original members of the Ailey Company, and to work with her and to feel her energy and how she expresses herself through her movement, it's one of the things that I've always wanted to do, and now that we have to work with her in this capacity with other local dancers here in St. Louis, it's just magical. It's a really, really magical thing that's going to happen this weekend.
How much opportunity have you had to work with the other dancers?
Well, we started together, all of us, I think in like October, November, and we've been rehearsing off and on ever since then. And these dancers, I mean, some of these kids are from Western University, some of them are ex-COCA dancers and just graduated from college. Some of them are still in college. It's just a great group of people that Michael put together for this.
What about the notion of performing this program here in St. Louis? It's your town. The people who inspired this whole thing are St. Louisans or from the region. Does it have a special meaning for you?
It does. A lot of people in St. Louis have been asking, when am I going to see you dance again? When am I going to see you dance again? And not that I'm retired from dancing in general and altogether. I'm just focused more on my kids at COCA and making sure that I'm helping them to create their careers and their dreams to come true. But to be able to do this in St. Louis and knowing that, like, Maya Angelou and all these people who are involved in this, it's just magical to even think I have a little bit to do with how this was created. It's just special to me.
How does a dancer translate the work of artists such as Maya Angelou and people like Dick Gregory and others who have inspired this whole production? How do you translate that art to your art?
It's a lot of shoes to fill. It's a lot of big shoes to fill. But you have Diane McIntyre, who is a legend in her own right, and you just feel like she knows and she feels and she has worked with some of these people firsthand. So to take what she's giving us and to embody that and to hear the poems that are being spoken behind us, you just have to dive deep into it and forget who you are on the daily basis and go into where these people and the words that are being spoken. So you have to kind of dive into what is being said.
Well, obviously you have great respect for Diane McIntyre, but do you as the performer have any latitude at all in your own interpretation going perhaps beyond the parameters that she set?
Yes, and it's so weird because working with Diane, she comes into the studio and she has a picture in her head of what she wants the steps to look like and how she wants it to be perceived. And then Kervin, my husband, and Alicia Graff, who is also dancing in the program, Alicia Graff Mack, will start to do something and she'll go, well, that's not what I was really thinking, but it's better. So, you know, you have a little bit of wiggle room to interpret what she gives you and really make it your own. I think that's what she's really looking for, and I think that's what made this project so special is because she would give you movement and then we got the chance to interpret it how we felt. So it's kind of like a give and take situation.
Oh, that has to make it better for you.
Oh, yes, because then you don't go on stage feeling uncomfortable because you've helped create this product.
Well, you'll be going on stage twice on Saturday. How tough is that on a dancer, two performances a day?
Yeah, I was in the Ely Company for 12 years. We've toured like 9 months of the year. I've danced thousands and thousands of times. So this is kind of like a breeze. It's easy to me.
Well, I know a lot.
Dance work is very hard, but the performance schedule of it is easy.
Oh, I know a lot of folks are looking forward to all of these performances Friday and Saturday. Antonio Douthat Boyd, thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to watching you on stage.
Thank you so much.
All right, and once again, to remind the audience that New Dance Horizons 4 performances Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Two Hill on the UMSL campus, and at 2 o'clock on Saturday matinee. I wish we were on television, because I would love for the audience to see how you two are reacting to Antonio. I mean, you're cracking up when he's talking, particularly when he starts talking about how much latitude the dancer has to go beyond what you guys tell him to do.
Well, we hope so. I mean, really, I mean, at least for me, I don't think either of us really are working in that place where it has to be this exact thing. Imagine there's a moment in front of you that you have never seen, and that you're asking somebody to step into that and fill it with themselves. And they know more about who they are as artists than I do. And I feel like that setting up a kind of conversation where that can come through is my job. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about it. It's not so much like, here are these steps that I made, but more of, here's something for you to live inside of. And, you know, and we get to know them really well.
Yes. I'll bet you do it. Diane, do you have the same take on that?
Yes, the same take on it. And the dancers, just as Antonio mentioned, there were some moves that I give them and where they go with it, not just because of their physicality, because their understanding of what I'm after or what the poem is after. They take it to another level. I'm like, oh, yes, do that. Just like you said, it's not exactly what I had in mind, but your intention behind this has taken it beyond what was in my mind. So it's a true collaboration.
He seemed to suggest very, very strongly that you're a tough taskmaster.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't answer that, but I have seen, we were in a program together called Five First Ladies of Dance Fly, mm-hmm. About six years ago, and I got to watch Diane warm up every night, and she is dedicated, and she makes a circle around the studio again and again. I can't remember if you had headphones or not, but you are like, you are focused, your eyes are on the prize, and it's, you know, and I'm there rolling around trying to just feel a little bit better, but you were really... Just an inspiration, so, yeah.
Oh, thank you. We're inspiration for each other. BB and I have known each other for years, mm-hmm. and I've always been inspired by her work and her...
And likewise.
Yes.
This has become quite a mutual admiration
society. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're working together.
We're like sisters, you know.
Is this production likely to be taken anyplace else, or is this just a one-stop deal?
Well, I imagine it's a one-stop, though if we have wonderful sponsors and producers who would love to see this, you know, travel the world, we'd be open to it. But
yes.
But I think that's what makes it special, that this is coming together now with this community, in this community. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really speaking, I think, to all of us.
Have you done anything like this before, you know, focusing on other communities?
I can't think of anything really like this. I think this was a very powerful vision that Michael Utoff had in focusing on the community and the history of the community. And so the community actually gets to celebrate itself by seeing where they came from.
Hmm.
Well, we're all looking forward to it. I'm sure it's going to be great. And three performances over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Two Hill on the Umso campus. I want to thank you ladies both so much for being with us. Diane McIntyre, great to see you. And B.B. Miller, it's wonderful to see you as well. Good luck with the weekend performances. And we also thank Antonio Douthat Boyd for being with us. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.